In Tafresh Lamed Hey, the Sfas Emes inquired about the commemoration on Shabbos Hagadol of that event which took place on the Shabbos Hagadol immediately prior to the Exodus. The Exodus, Yetzias Mitzrayim, took place on Tesvav Nisan, which that year was on Thursday, meaning that the preceding Shabbos that year was the 10th, and that was the day that the Jewish people were instructed to purchase a sheep and to designate it as a karban in defiance of the regnant Egyptian culture which deified sheep. And this was their first act of rebellion, of defiance, of liberation, of faith, of withdrawal from paganism. So it's clearly an important act to commemorate and an important moment of a pre-Geula experience, especially in the backdrop of their general passivity in the overall redemptive process. So this is at least some response, some energy, some initiative. But the Sfas Emes wants to know why we chose the day of the week, which incidentally that event happened to occur on, and not the date of the month. Typically, we commemorate events not based on the day of the week on which those original events occurred, but the day of the month, the 15th, the 6th, the 14th, the 10th, Yom Kippur. So to commemorate that act of defiance and faith is one thing, but it should be commemorated on the 10th, regardless of when that occurs. Shabbos HaGadol is not always on the 10th of Nisan. This year, for example, it's a week early, so it would be on the 8th of Nisan. So the Sfas Emes talks about the fact that that moment in time in Egypt represented, in many ways, the first time the Jewish people willfully accepted a mitzvah. This isn't the first mitzvah. The first mitzvah is the mitzvah of Achodesh Zelachem, but they didn't execute it yet because they had no role in determining the month. This was a mitzvah deferred for future implementation. And in general, determining new moons and setting the calendar isn't the mitzvah for each individual Jew. It's a collective mitzvah for Beit Din, for Sanhedrin, for the organs of Jewish governance. So this is the first mitzvah that the Jews acted upon in an immediate fashion and acted upon individually, each person, each Jew. And this signaled a new era, which was laden with potential to reach perfection and utopia, because in theory this was a withdrawal from the pagan world. The Jews had also sunken into that world. And it would launch a process by which the Jews would be liberated from Mitzrayim, receive the Torah, embrace monotheism, march into the land of monotheism, or empty it of paganism, and infuse it with monotheism, and achieve utopia, the kingdom of Hashem's uncontested presence, and from a historical standpoint, the end of time. Everything else was a detour, and Amalek was the first detour, and then our own personal failures in the wake of Amalek. But that Shabbos, the 10th of Nisan, represented the purity of that original pristine moment in which intentions were yet unscarred or unblemished by the failures of the real world. And Hasidus in general recognizes the purity of intent even if it's unfulfilled or it's unactualized. So we take a step back in commemorating that day and we return to a pre-moment or a primordial moment in which the potential was limitless, and our purity was flawless. And even though the real world would strip that purity of its, or that experience of its purity, there's something about the purity of that moment, unencumbered by the failure of reality, or unaffected by the failure of reality. So now why do we celebrate it on Shabbos? We should celebrate that moment with a capital M, every year on an annual basis on the 10th of Nisan. And the answer is because Shabbos also reflects on a weekly basis that tragedy of trying to translate purity of hopes and wishes and ambitions, which we all hatch for ourselves on Shabbos, we all envision on Shabbos, the type of week we will lead. And when we say that during Atach HaNantanu, we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu that we should experience a week Midubakim B'Yirasecha, that we should be driven by your Yira and excited by your Torah. We all hope that the week will evolve in that religiously successful fashion, and inevitably our weeks fail to live up to those expectations. But Shabbos, being that it's divorced from activity and it's severed from the real world, it gives us a taste of perfection, if not in the world of implementation, at least in the world of expectation. So it's more important for us to return to national and historical expectation, pure and flawless, unfettered and unaffected by historical failure. It's important to return to that experience specifically on a Shabbos, even though the date of the calendar may not stack up. But the experience of Shabbos is convergent or overlaps with the experience with which Shabbos HaGadol is meant to evoke. And that's why it's called Shabbos HaGadol. And here, perhaps just a point of introduction, the Sfas Emes elaborates on why it's called Shabbos HaGadol, and I'll try to share two or three other ideas which he articulates. In general, one of the controversial parts of Hasidus was their free and novel interpretation of texts, and some would say even manipulation. Letters could be changed, sequences of letters could be reversed, and meanings could be introduced where they had been yet unexamined, whereas much of Yiddishkeit had worked off of a hierarchical model where the role of later generations is to receive the Torah from earlier generations, to develop those Torah and those sources. But if ideas were true, then they would have been visited and examined and achieved by earlier generations. And Hasidus suggested in the phraseology was newfound truths which could be revealed to later generations. In Hebrew, Hemes HaMishchadeshes B'chol Dor. So in general, Hasidus was very liberal in textual manipulation, much to the disapproval of non-Hasidic sectors. But at least in typical cases, the texts which were being manipulated were still the same texts, and they were divine texts, or at the very least, divinely inspired texts, such as Chazal's statements, which Hasidus took very seriously, both the content and the syntax. So to ask why the Torah refers to a certain experience or person, and to manipulate that word which the Torah incorporates, or why Chazal spoke in a particular language, and to ask what symbolism that language reflects is one thing. To ask about the term Shabbos HaGadol, when the term Shabbos HaGadol doesn't appear in any early text, Shabbos HaGadol is a minhag, and the phrase Shabbos HaGadol emerged at some level historically because there were long drushos, because it commemorated this great act, but there's no text that ordained that or imposed it. But presumably, by asking this question, why was it called Shabbos HaGadol, Sfas Emes is assuming that that phraseology wouldn't have originated and certainly wouldn't have stuck, wouldn't have adhered to Jewish history if it didn't contain some deeper meaning and some deeper reference point. So to the Sfas Emes, the term Shabbos HaGadol suggests that there's a potential for Shabbos to reach a state of Gadol in our world, Yisgadal v'Yisgadash Shemei Rabbah, where Hashem's presence is so unquestioned and so undisputed, and his presence is Gadol, and both Shabbos in general gives us a taste of that potential, again, unblemished by the failure of reality, and the 10th of Nisan and that defined act gave us the taste of potential. So the convergence of Shabbos and the experience of launching history with its unlimited potential, that combination is referred to as Shabbos HaGadol because it implies a world in which Hashem's name is Yisgadal v'Yisgadash Shemei Rabbah. And that's one idea the Sfas Emes expressed about Shabbos HaGadol. A second mode of ideas, I should say, is that Shabbos HaGadol is referred to as Shabbos HaGadol because with the exodus from Mitzrayim, Shabbos was upgraded. This is not, so to speak, and the Sfas Emes uses this articulation, this syntax, it's not Shabbos HaKatan, it's Shabbos HaGadol. And again, the minhag of calling it Shabbos HaGadol includes some of these ideas and some of these latent messages. So one idea he expressed, this was in Tafresh Samach Beis, is probably the most basic idea, and this is not exclusive to Hasidus, is Shabbos really has two layers to it, many more than two, but two basic theological layers. One is it reminds us of Bria Sa'olam, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created our world, and the theology and the theological tenets of creation. And that's more or less captured by the reference to Shabbos in the first Lichos, in which the association with Bris HaOlam is highlighted. But Shabbos also reminds us that Hashem emancipated us from Beis Avadim, as the second Dibros, the second mention of Shabbos in the second Luchos, articulates. And the Jewish people, by adhering to Shabbos, they essentially testify to these two major events, one that Hashem created the world and one that He intervened and chose our people, and therefore we rest as free men rather than slaves who are incessantly working. We're free by definition. Now, the world demands our industry and our activity, but once a week, we remind ourselves of our inherent fundamental freedom bestowed, or at least freedom for man, bestowed by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So it's called Shabbos HaGadol, because now by leaving Mitzrayim, Shabbos was upgraded, because that second layer of testimony was now feasible. Maintaining Shabbos didn't just testify about Hashem's creating the world, but it testified about our liberation from bondage and the selection of the Jewish people as a supernatural people, in no way limited by the laws of nature and the laws of history that govern every other nation. And this was climaxed, or at least launched, in Yetzias Mitzrayim, and therefore it's called Shabbos HaGadol. It's not clear from the Sfas language whether it's called Shabbos HaGadol because it upgrades Shabbos to that next layer of testimony, or it's called Shabbos HaGadol because it's a Shabbos that offers testimony about the Jewish people, not just the universal world that Hashem created. And the Jewish people are chosen with Yetzias Mitzrayim, which is launched on Shabbos HaGadol, and they're chosen for an ark which is beyond nature, and the term Gadol captures the extra natural, a supernatural status of the Jewish people. But it's clear that the term Gadol represents the upgrading of Shabbos, that now there's a people that have an added testimony that Shabbos itself has been changed, and it has been changed by being associated with an event. Shabbos reminds us of Yetzias Mitzrayim, whose core is the selection of a people that hover above history and shape history rather than being subjected to history. And they are the Gadol. We are the Gedolim of Shabbos. In different years, he spoke about this in different nuances, but it's called Shabbos HaGadol because of that new layer of association with Shabbos, the selection of the Jewish people, the testimony that we offer that Hashem liberated us as a people with a mission, and a mission that overlays history and nature rather than being subjected to it. A different idea about upgrading Shabbos with the event or the experience of Yetzias Mitzrayim, and hence yielding Shabbos HaGadol, a superior Shabbos experience, is in Tafresh Lamed Daled. That year, Shabbos HaGadol was Parshas Tzav. So the Sfas Emes talked about two different Shabbos experiences. And before I describe their historical offset or discrepancy, just the experiences themselves. For some people who are slaves, and slaves can either be formal slaves, formally or actual persecution, or just enslaved to any experience or entity other than HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Shabbos creates a practical release and allows a person to rest from their work, from their persecution. And hopefully some of that rest will enable spirituality and religious expression. But what about a person who's involved and immersed religiously the entire week? So what role does Shabbos play? Shabbos, by walking away from the fabric of human reality, creates some different religious fabric. There's even a person who learns, let's say, the entire week and learns on Shabbos. Shabbos is still different. The Sfas Emes describes this mystically. His language is, B'Shabbos Kodesh, Yeshlo Minucha Li'avdo Yisbarach Bi'ava U'Berachavus Halev. Shabbos affords a person a new modality of Avodas Hashem, which is characterized by Ahava and Rachavos Halev, an expansion of emotion, an expansion of heart space, an expansion of human horizons and human consciousness. But there's a low grade but very, very tangible release of Shabbos with people, for people who are slaves, or not just slaves, but disinclined towards religion because of the pursuit of that which enslaves them away from religion. And then there's a Shabbos, which is superior, for people who are already oriented towards religion, but are freed on Shabbos from not the enslavement of reality, this is my language, but just from reality. Reality, if it doesn't enslave and distract, it certainly dilutes and it cools and it disrupts and it leads to, if you employ the terms of the Sfas Emes, it leads to, on the one hand, Tzimtzum Halev, where the heart is not allowed to wander and soar as freely as it can on Shabbos, and Yira, in which the love felt for HaKadosh Baruch Hu can't be as profound during the week, I presume because of the disruption of the week. And in the absence of Ahava, Yira dominates. Ahava, the presumption is, can only exist where it isn't vacated by some other competing emotion in your interface with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But either way, that's a whole different grade of Shabbos. And it isn't marked by the release from persecution and work, it's marked by the expansion of religious horizons and religious emotional opportunity. And before Yetzias Mitzrayim, as the Jews were slaves, they couldn't taste that higher grade of Shabbos, even though they still experienced Shabbos, because as Chazal tell us, they didn't work on Shabbos. At some level, according to some versions, Moshe succeeded in securing them a day off. So that low grade of Shabbos predated Yetzias Mitzrayim. With the advent of Yetzias Mitzrayim, which is launched on Yud Nisan, Shabbos became Shabbos HaGadol. Shabbos experience now offered that second plane, not just the release from work and bondage, but the opportunity for expanded religious consciousness. So this is a whole different view of Shabbos HaGadol. The first view of Shabbos HaGadol is a Shabbos that can prompt a period, or if not a historical period, a human opportunity for godless. So Shabbos is a tool to create the experience of Gadol. Whereas these last two ideas I expressed describes how through Yetzias Mitzrayim, Shabbos itself was altered, either because it selected Jewish people who are above history, it created that Gadol on top of, or because it created or refashioned Shabbos from a release from work and activity into an expansion of religious environs. Everyone should have a Shabbos HaGadol Shalom. Shabbat Shalom.